Amen. The old rugged cross. They say that's one of the most beloved of all of the hymns. Yes. Is that one? Is the old rugged cross. Turn with me tonight in the book of 2 Timothy, if you would please. 2 Timothy. Timotheus in Greek. His name is Timotheus. Timothy. Spiritual son of the Apostle Paul in the faith. Chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away.
Yes.
Father, bless this book now. Your holy name. Amen. You can take the list here in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and compare it to what Paul said in the book of Romans chapter number 1. The people in Romans chapter number 1 did not retain God in their knowledge. They became pagans. They're ignorant. They were following their own light. Isaiah, I think it is in the Old Testament, says, I want you to follow the sparks that come from your own fire, since you've rejected the truth, the Word of God. That's sarcasm, sarcastic way to say to them, you've rejected the light. Now let's see how much light you have in your own light. But here in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, he's talking to those who profess to be Christians. This is supposed to be the believing church, and it's the church here that he's talking about. And the first thing he mentions is lovers of their own selves. I thought, well, let me check this out, because you have, when you get on the internet and begin to look at the things that make up immaturity, people that are 13 years old with a 40-year-old body. That's one way to put it. Roads are full of them. And the airports are full of them. In plain words, they're 40, 45-year-old people, but they never got past the age of 12 or 13 or 14. They're little spoiled brats. And we've got a lot of that out there, no question about it. But they say that one of the things of immaturity is self-centeredness and consumed with self. It's all about self. And then the same people try to defend self-love. And I typed in Google, I said self-love versus self-absorption and whatever. And they say, well, now there is a fine line between the two. Yeah, I say it's fine. It's so fine you can't even see it. Amen. 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 Yeah, it's real fine. The problem is, though, that we've raised a whole generation by Dr. Spock's book. How many's ever heard of the Dr. Spock? Amen. I think that old boy that was doing surgery over there in Korea is more of a doctor than Mr. Spock. Amen. Because at least the people that he worked on lived. People that followed the teachings of Dr. Spock died because it kills something. A lot of people say, well, now, you know, preacher, all of this business about spare the rod and spoil the child, don't you understand that that's anachronistic? In plain words, it belongs to a different time period. Yeah. Well, what's changed, though? What's changed? This is a rebellious generation. Rebellious. I remember one time out being boy, how boys are boys, you know. These boys, they think we never were boys. Boys, we were boys. We know all about you. And I got into something, I don't remember what it was, and I was staying with my aunt. But we were around people, and so she said, you remind me to whoop you when we get home. I forgot, you know, when we got there. Forgot all about it. Yeah, I mean, I probably deserved it, no doubt, but I had a memory lapse. And of course, most people would too. I mean, who would go up to their aunt and say, oh, you said you're going to do one on me. Well, here I am. But you see, that was back at a time when you could go downtown and all of a sudden you'd hear some kids screaming and their parent would have them right there in public giving a spanking. Yeah, do that today and they'll throw you in jail. But they're also burning buildings down today and they're killing people in schools today. Yeah, and smash and grab today and road rage today. I looked up a little bit of information on that, and here's a case in point. In Lumberton, North Carolina, a 47-year-old mother of six from Pennsylvania was riding in the passenger seat with her husband in March on the way to the beach to celebrate their anniversary when she was fatally shot during a road rage incident. The couple's SUV had come close to another car during a merge, angering the other driver, who allegedly fired multiple shots into the passenger door, according to police. We live in a country now, we live in a culture, they'll kill you. These people out here, they've had no spiritual training. And the only thing they have moving in their soul is the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. And this country's saturated with it. And so I would urge you and anyone else to be very careful when you get out on the road. There was a time when two guys met and they get out and duke it out, you know, and settle their issue. Now one of them takes a machete and cuts the other one's head off or anything like that. This is the culture that we live in. The airport. How many of you have seen the airport scenes? Have been in just big dogfights in the airports now. Miami, for example, has had two or three. Well, this goes on all the time. I got a figure out here, though, and it's quite remarkable. It amazed me when I found it. And I wanted to give you that figure tonight. In the year 2021, 5,981 unruly passengers aboard aircraft. That's mind-boggling. And you only see a small percentage of that on TV. I mean, these are the stats that come in. They have nobody gathering the stats of road rage. But a guess is that over 500 people die every year being shot to death because of a road rage incident. It's getting bad. And say, why is it so bad? It's bad because they have no spirit. They've got no spirit training. The churches they go to today, they tell you to love yourself. They tell you it's all about you. They tell you that God's a big banker up in the sky and all you got to do is know how to pull his cords and he'll give you all you want. You'll get your best life now, and things like that. This is what people are, this is what they're going to. This is what they're hearing. And it has nothing to do with the Bible. The Word of God says plainly, those I love, I chasten. And scourge every son that I receive. We need chastening. Even if we're born of the Spirit of God, we still need chastening. Our spirit needs to be touched by the hand of God. And of course, when that happens, he'll let you know why he's chastening you. And then he'll assure you that why he's chastening you is because you belong to him. And that's a good thing. Because tonight, if you can sin, get away with it, you're kidding yourself. You don't belong to him. You don't know him. And the Bible's pretty clear on that. So the Bible says perilous times shall come. They are perilous. You've got to be very careful today. You've got to be very careful today who you look at, what you say, or anything of that nature, because the roads are full of vicious people. The airplanes are, and the airports, of course, to get on the airplane, and all kinds of stuff. And when the social media phenomenon started, when the Internet came into being, the Internet, of course, was around before that, but it became public. And I remember when it first came on, you had to dial up a number, and they had what's called a handshake, a little squeal there, and then all of a sudden they'd connect. And you could only have about 2 or 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes on the Internet, and then you had to leave. And because it cost so much, what have you. And so it changed, though. And all of a sudden, now you can sit on it night and day, 24 hours a day. And then all these social media sites begin to pop up. Social media. It is no longer a case of where you have friends from your high school or your neighborhood or whatever, family friends, that you talk to face to face. Now you have this artificial world. And you wouldn't believe, folks, how tonight that a lot of kids are literally addicted to this thing, to this social media. It's not something to just pass off because it has some deadly consequences associated with it. I want to read you from one study that was made. Let's see if I can find the paper. And I thought it was very interesting in what they had to say. This is from the European Management Journal. And this is a paper, published paper, PDF, as done in a scholarly manner, dealing with the social media. And they admit at the beginning that the social media has some good points. There's some good things about it. But they say it has a dark side. Regardless of the numerous opportunities social media offer, an increasing number of incidents demonstrate that there is undoubtedly a dark side to social media. Chamath Palihapitiya, and I probably butchered that name, a former Facebook executive, recently stated that he regrets that some of the tools he's helped to create are ripping apart the social fabric of how society works. And now, see, we have kids today that have never known anything but a cell phone and social media. They grew up in it. You know, they don't remember the kind of times that I do. They can't go back that far. All they know is social media. And this quote vividly illustrates how the qualities that underline the enormous presence of social media platforms are now also undermining the freedoms and the well-being of the individuals and communities they serve. For example, there have been an increasing number of reports and research attention into concerns such as cyberbullying, trolling, privacy invasions, fake news, online. Let me get it over here where I can read it. Online firestorms and addictive use. Furthermore, a 2017 survey found that Britons aged 14 to 24 believe that social media such as Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Chat, and Twitter exacerbated self-consciousness and fear of missing out, which can result in increased levels of anxiety, sleep loss, and depression. In the workplace, a recent study found that benefits of social media also come with negative consequences through work-life conflicts and interruptions that increase exhaustion. To boil it down to a simple statement, social media now has created a social structure in this country and around the world that did not exist just a few decades ago. And so, therefore, the social structure in this country, around the world, is a fabricated social structure. Not based on reality, but it's based on somebody manipulating somebody. Now, they're making a pile of money, too, by the way. The love of money is the root of all evil. No question about it. I've got a cell phone. I use it for email. I use it sometimes to check out some websites that have news, and that's it. I do not bury my face in a cell phone. It's there if I need it. Am I on the highway and broke down or something? A phone is a good thing to have. Good thing to have. That's it. But as far as Snapchat and Facebook and all the rest of it, Twitter, zip. Now, I know I'm 75 years old. I understand that. And I know that a teenager is coming up in an entirely different environment. But, oh, how I wish that they'd understand that they're being fed a falsehood. The friends, there's so many friends. I remember somebody tell me about a year or so back. They said, you know what happened? Preacher, I got mad. I said, what do you mean? They said, I got mad and I went on Facebook and I zapped every one of my friends. Said, they weren't my friends anyway. I said, you're smart. If they really are your friend, they'll stick closer than a brother. A friend is a real thing to have. It's a wonderful thing to have. Can you find friends in social media? Yes, you can. Can you find anything good in social media? Yeah, you can. Certainly you can. But the truth of the matter is, you're being robbed of face-to-face communication. The nuances of expression when you read the other person's face when they say something. You don't see that on social media. The feeling of the spirit, your spirit with their spirit, as you talk to a human being and not a machine, not a computer. So what does that do? That helps you grow. It helps you mature. It helps you begin to understand what life's about. And I'll tell you right now, It's sad as to what's happening because these movers and shakers are making money hand over fist. I read a thing the other day. It said one of these social media sites, the man lost $60 billion in one day. Now, that's a pile of money. That's $60,000 million in one day. Not that that was his personal fortune, but to the value of this social media site, it had lost value to $60 billion. That's a lot of money. Did you know that? And when you have money like that, you have control. And there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever that most of the politicians in the government bow down to that kind of control. You've heard Silicon Valley mentioned time and time again. How now they're cutting away, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Where you burn books and you stop the printing of, I'm getting to where I can't remember, censorship. Thank you. Censorship. They're exercising censorship. If you don't march to their tune, live in their far left wing world, then they just whack you and that's it. That's the power that these people have. They shouldn't have that kind of power. They shouldn't have it. They shouldn't have it. Bottom line is that if these politicians in the government really cared for the well-being of children and as they grow up and as they mature, they do something about that. I love debate. I love an open forum. I love the idea that if you publish a paper, and they publish papers, by the way, you see these doctors and scientists and philosophers, they publish papers. It's called a peer pressure, peer paper, and peers review it. Peer review. In other words, men, women of the same standing, the same level of education, read that to see how much this person, all right, they know as much as I do, what have they found? And so this thing, this is what goes on, all right? This goes on between these people or among these people. But you don't have anything like that. You have no voice. Just like we're going through right now this plague. Some say, wear a mask. Some say, don't wear a mask. Well, then who do you appeal to? Where is the round table where you bring all the experts together, whether they're left wing or right wing or no wing? You bring them together. I'm talking about peers, and let them unfold for the world what's really known about this stuff, and then make a qualified decision about what has to be done. But instead, what you are seeing right now is power. They grasp power. They love power. And power is an addictive thing, believe me. And they are exercising it over people. This is what's happening in Canada right now. Those truckers up there, they've been vaccinated, and many of them wear masks, but they're tired of it. They're tired of totalitarianism. And the Canadian people are so much like us. I've told you before that if they don't tell you they're Canadian, you won't know. That's how close we are. You simply will not know. And they believe in the same freedoms that we do. And they love this. But I'm going to tell you what it's about. I don't want to ramble with you tonight, but here's what it's about. It's about control, and it's about entering into the age of the Antichrist. And it's about being used to marks and being used to controls that have to do with medication and your health. And this is exactly where we are headed right now. And it's not too far down the road. I'm glad, thank God tonight, that we will be gone from here. But the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, that day shall not come except there be a falling away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Look at him. Look for him. Look for the Antichrist. You'll see him, but we'll be gone. You see him, we're leaving. And he's out there. I believe he's alive right now. I believe in every generation the Lord has had somebody that could fulfill that. And just like John the Baptist could have been Elijah, he has somebody in every generation that can fulfill that. And once he does, he becomes Satan incarnate. And this is coming. The spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, it's more saturated now than it ever has been. It's saturated out there, folks. It's saturated. It's in your face, anything. It makes no difference now. Whatever they want to do, and you better shut up and not say a word about it. or you get a label attached to you, and then you lose your job and you lose your money and you lose everything else you got. And if it comes down to it, and if it comes down to shutting the churches, if it comes down to closing the preaching of the gospel, then they'll have to lock me up. And I think there'll be thousands of men that they'll have to lock up because they won't stand for it. And, you know, we've prayed and talked about a revival. If that ever happens, you'll see a revival. You'll see a revival. But the Lord's going to come back. He's going to come back. 5,981 unruly passengers. Just the other day, this big burly fellow headed for the cockpit, and he tried to get through the door, and he wanted to get to the pilot. And, of course, if he'd gotten into the control room there, he could have crashed that jet. And they had to stop him, and they did. It took about 6 or 7 men to pull him down and stop him. But could you imagine being on a flight like that? Can you imagine? You're 35,000 feet, and here's this guy. He's trying to get into the cockpit. He's trying to get in there and get a hold of the pilot. Well, when you leave out of here tonight, be careful. You're not living in 1970. You're living in 2022. You're living in 2022. I didn't think I'd ever see this day. I thought I'd be gone before this day ever showed up. But here I am. And I constantly ask the Lord, Lord, why am I still here? And what do you want me to do? And he comes back to me with the same message time and time and time again. He says, you do what I've called you to do. You stick there, you preach and you teach and minister the word of God. Amen. That's Amen. What I put you on this earth for. And so that's why I'm here. Now, every one of us have a reason for being here. What is yours? You know, when you get home, if you have time, read 1 Corinthians 12. And read it with an open mind and pray for the Holy Spirit to show you just exactly what that means. Each one of these gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, each one of these gifts, each one of them singularly can be multiplied in various different ways. Many, many ways. Everybody that's born of the Spirit of God has the gift of the Holy Ghost. Every one of us. Every last one of you. You're not all called to preach. But you are called to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're called to do that. And I would that tonight that you do that. We have young people that are growing up, teenagers. They need instruction. They need two types of instruction. They need biblical instruction, and they also need the witness of the lives lived in front of them by people who are not hypocritical about what they say. In plain words, if you get up and preach, you better start living it. Amen. And kids aren't stupid. They pick up on hypocrisy more than anything. If God's given you the gift of music, why don't you use it? Use it. If God's given you that gift, He didn't give it to me. The only thing He gave me with music is the love for music. I love music. And I love beautiful music. And art. I told you that the other day. But to sing? No, I couldn't carry a tune. God didn't give me that. But He did some of you. You ought to use it. Maybe write. Did God give you the ability to write? Could you write Christian material? Could you write Christian material that is for this age, contemporary with this time, 2022? You know, I remember reading sermons when I first got saved of the 1800s. And it was the late 1890, 1895. I read this sermon by a preacher, and I thought it was real good. But, I mean, he blasted the people like you wouldn't believe. I mean, he laid into them. And you know what it was for? Reading the newspaper on Sunday. See how things have changed? And I'm not making fun of the man. He was ministering to 1895. Of course, there's never... I can see no problem with that anyway. But anyway, that was his conviction. But what do you do now? What do you do now? This is 2022. What do you write that would help people, that help these kids? They need help. They need adult supervision. They need mature people that won't carry their feelings around on their shoulder. People that are faithful to the house of God. That's so important, to be faithful. So important. Like you talked about, said they can worship God at home. You get your heart right with God, and you'll be in the house of God.
Yeah.
You'll be there. Let me tell you one of the reasons you ought to come to church. You support the other people. That supports them. Another reason you ought to come to church is because you have fellowship one with another. That's just fellowship. That's a hard thing. How many's ever had fellowship with a TV screen? Now, there's a place for streaming. We stream because people need it. And people come in this church all the time who say, "Preacher, we don't have a church anywhere where we live." Well, God bless you. It's good that you've got this streaming. But if you have access to a church, you need to go. You need to go and support the church and support the people in the church. Amen. Don't you think that's important?
Yeah.
Some pastors, they get real carried away with this. They say to some of these folks who won't darken the church door, "Well, if all was left in this church was you, we'd had to close down a long time ago." That's true. That's true. That really is. And I want you to know tonight, this preacher thanks you for supporting this church. I thank you very much. I thank you. Sunday morning when we came in here, this past Sunday morning, was the biggest crowd we've had at Temple in a long time. Been a long time. Had actually pulled a chair out. It was a big crowd. Crowds never have meant a thing to me except this sense, and that is God's hand is still on Temple Baptist Church. Because all over this country, churches are closing their doors. They're closing their doors. So if you've been out, I'd like to encourage you tonight to come back. I'd like to encourage you to come to the house. Nobody's going to jump on you. Good night. But come back and support the people here and see the hand of God as it moves at Temple and fellowship with each other. And that strengthens. Doesn't fellowship at the house of God, doesn't that help you through the rest of the week? I mean, and some of you work in terrible conditions. But if you fellowship with each other, you have Christian fellowship. And that's a wonderful thing. So I encourage you to do that. You can't make anybody do anything. I don't try to make any. You don't make sheep. You can't force sheep to do anything. You have to lead them. And that's what has to be done. And that's what I'm going to do. By the grace of God, until I'm out of here. Until I'm called home. I've done settled that part. So you're not going to retire? No, I'll retire to heaven. That's what I'll do. Amen. Amen. And I have a feeling that the Almighty will use me until He's done with me, and I'll be able to do what He's called me to do till He's done with me, and then He's going to take me out of here. And I pray that's right. Are you following what I'm trying to say to you tonight?
Yeah.
Amen. And that's what I want. I want to be here. I want to be on the battlefield, as Brother Blue used to sing, in the battle until I'm done. How many of you want to do the same thing?
Yeah.
Stick with it. Stick with it. Stay with it. And we'll come to the end of this thing. And the Lord's going to come back.
Yeah.
Father, bless your word and time we have together tonight. And Father, in some small way I tried to warn people. And I think they already know. I didn't really tell them anything they didn't know. They know this country's changed drastically. They know it's perilous times. We've never known a time like this in this country. These are really perilous times. And Father, I pray you bless them, keep them safe, watch over them, and then bring us back again this coming Sunday to the house of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. For His sake I ask it. Amen. Thank you for coming, folks. God bless every one of you. We'll meet you again Sunday, Lord willing.